Hey everybody, I'm Eileen Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries, and welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast. I want to talk to you today about walking by faith and about how you evaluate the evidence around you to find what is true. I mean, our minds are consistently taking in through our senses things, what we hear, what we see in our environment so that we can try to determine what is right. I want to talk to you today about redirecting our reasoning to rely on the Holy Spirit to find truth. Now, let me give you an illustration of this. We're at the beach right now. I live in Raleigh, North Carolina, and one of the best things about living there is that I can travel 3 hours to the west and I'm in the mountains, and I can travel 3 hours to the east and I'm at the beach. And so every summer we like to take a vacation at the beach, and that's where we are right now. Well, last night, Justin and I were sitting on the couch, and our little Havani Samson, who is 10 pounds, I looked over at Samson, and he was quivering. And I said, Justin, look at Samson. He's quivering. Now, when Samson quivers and shakes and trembles like that, well, he normally does it because there's a thunderstorm coming. And so I said to Justin, well, there must be a thunderstorm coming. And Justin pulled up his phone and he looked on radar and he didn't see a thunderstorm coming. And I said, well, that's weird. Because, you know, Samson, like, it's like he's got radar, like, hooked into his body or something like that. I mean, we always know it's going to thunderstorm because he trembles. So we looked outside, we looked at the sky, and there were no thunderstorms in the sky. But when I went out to look and to see if there were thunderstorms, I did hear a rumble. But the rumble wasn't from thunder. You see, close to where we are at the beach is a Marine base called Cherry Point. And sometimes when they're doing military exercises, you will hear rumbles. And it will sound like thunder, but it's not thunder. And the same is true for us. We may see things or hear things. Like Samson heard the rumble and he evaluated that evidence and said, there's a thunderstorm coming. And so because of his evaluation, it created fear in his life, but there really wasn't a thunderstorm at all. And you and I can look out at the evidence in our life and we can evaluate it. And our evaluation may even be true, but it might not be God's truth. And when we live our life this way, because, you know, the enemy will encourage us to evaluate the evidence around us solely based on human reasoning rather than relying on the Spirit. Because when we do it this way, we'll become depressed, defeated, and hopeless. And that brings us to our Bible passage today. We're in John chapter 20, and we're looking at the story of Mary Magdalene. Now, the Bible says this starting in verse 1. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and she said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put them." Now let's look at that. You and I know what the truth is. You and I know that Jesus had been resurrected, right? I mean, he hadn't ascended to the Father yet. We're going to find out about that, but that he wasn't dead. And certainly no guards took him, right? But Mary Magdalene saw the evidence, right? And the evidence was that her eyes saw that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. Now that was true, right? And from the evidence, she made this evaluation. They have taken Jesus away. And so fear was born in Mary's heart because of her evaluation that was based off of something she saw that was a fact, right? The stone had been rolled away. And so then there's a reaction to that. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. And she said, they have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put them. And so she saw the evidence. She made the evaluation, which was based, it wasn't the truth, it was based on a lie. And then she executed off of that evaluation. Now, to execute means to carry out, to put into effect. And see, our beliefs will always drive our behavior. And so because Mary Magdalene believed in this, she frantically ran, she found the disciples, and she repeated that false evaluation and perpetuated the lie. And all the time, the enemy is just up there cackling and laughing because what Mary saw was true. And her evaluation, I mean, it's human reasoning, right? But it wasn't God's truth. And so then, and you can read this, I'm not going to really go into this passage, but Peter and John go in, and John realizes that he's been resurrected because of what he sees. But in verse 11, it says, Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. So Mary is now overcome with grief. And the words that are used there, Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, these words for crying and wept, they are not just small little tears. It is an outright emotional mourning of huge proportions. Have you ever just felt like your world was falling apart and you just wanted to say, where's God, right? And you just are overcome with emotion and you're crying. That's where Mary is. And her emotions were so high. And when our emotions are high, we can't even do like human reasoning good, right? I mean, scientists tell us that there's an area in our brain. And when our emotions become strong, it's like it's like we go into caveman mode and we can't even reason. And we know this is true of her, right? That her emotions now are clouding her evaluation. Because then in the next verse, it says she saw two white robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. Dear woman, why are you crying? The angels asked her. Because they have taken away my Lord, she replied, and I don't know where they have put him. And so there God supplies this evidence, right? Like the angels, you know, and maybe that would stop her, but she's so overcome with emotions. And so she sees with her eyes, but she makes that evaluation again. They have taken away my Lord. I want to ask you as you're listening to this podcast, what evidence are you experiencing? And it makes you think that Jesus has abandoned you and you're all alone. Or that the promise that God made to you, well, it just didn't come true. Or that God hasn't been faithful. Or that now you're left to figure out life on your own. I want to invite you today through this podcast to live differently by seeing differently. Let's go back to the passage. You see, the enemy is the prince of this world, John 14:30 says. And because the enemy is the prince of this world, he will always encourage us to evaluate our circumstances with what we see. But Jesus invites us to live differently by seeing differently. He wants us to walk by faith, by his perspective. And so Jesus interrupts this emotion commotion that Mary Magdalene is experiencing. And you and I cannot point the fingers, because if we were there, we would probably be feeling and experiencing the same way. And just like the angels, Jesus asks her questions. And these questions, I believe, he asks her are to invite her to evaluate her evidence with the eyes of faith. Verse 14, she turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. Dear woman, why are you crying? Jesus asked her. Who are you looking for? She thought, she reasoned, she evaluated. Well, he must be a gardener, right? Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go in and get him. And so we see that Jesus, that Mary Magdalene is so overcome with emotion that she can't even see Jesus right before her. I mean, the angels didn't really faze her. Do you know what I'm saying? But the reality is that sometimes you and I walk through some dark circumstances, and what we see with our eyes is too much. And while we know, just like Mary Magdalene, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 8, she traveled with Jesus. And so she heard over and over again, you know, I'm going to be crucified and resurrected on the third day, you know, and who Jesus was. That all of a sudden, all that just went out the window because of what her eyes were taking in. What are you seeing in your life? And it's causing great sorrow. And there's a part of you deep down that just wants to cry out and say, Jesus, where are you? Oftentimes, the evidence that we see will suggest to us that Jesus is not who he says he is. But nothing could be further from the truth. You see, we have the mind of Christ. When we become Christians, we gain the mind of Christ. And that gives us the ability to have a different perspective. And when I rely on the Holy Spirit, God reveals truth that will always, always light up the darkness and bring hope to hold my head up high and courage to move forward. And that's exactly what Jesus did. The first thing that he does with her is he calls her by name and he says, Mary. And you know, when Jesus calls us by name, I'm talking about my dogs again, Samson and Sadie, and even though their names are very similar, both of them know when I'm calling to that certain one, right? Samson, S-A, Sadie, S-A. And it's because they can detect those syllables. And you know, the Lord speaks to us through his word. That's one of the primary ways, but he's speaking to us every day, all the time, everywhere. And when he speaks to us, we just know it. And it's so precious. It's like he knows, we know that he's calling us by name. Have you ever been inside of a church service and the pastor is speaking? And while he's speaking to the whole congregation, you just feel everything fade away. Because the Holy Spirit has just highlighted some of the words that he is saying, and you know that God is speaking just to you. Isn't it precious when he calls you by name? And so immediately, I believe that she was filled with joy because the Bible says that she turned to him and she cried out to him, Rabboni, which means teacher. So she turned to him, and then she looked to him as her teacher. And you see, Jesus wants to teach us truth, to transform darkness into light. And he will reveal things that are hidden to us. You know, and the reality of it is that we are learning all the time. And there's lots of things that teach us, you know. Our environment we grew up in teaches us. In other words, for example, if we had a mother that always did what the husband wanted and never voiced her feelings or opinions, and maybe she was silently angry, but she just never voiced her feelings or her thoughts, what that teaches us is my feelings aren't important or valid. And then because we've marinated in that, and while we may not have articulated it, that's what we've been taught, and that's the way that we live. Our environment that we grew up in teaches us. The world teaches us. The world is constantly trying to teach us who has more value based off of things like, are they a movie star? Do they have a title? What kind of car are you driving? What address are you living in? The world teaches us what is valuable and what is not valuable. The world teaches us. The environment that we live in now teaches us. The people that we hang out with, they have an impact and they teach us. But Jesus wants us to turn to Him and see Him as our ultimate teacher. Now, right here in this moment in time, inside of this story, Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. And it says that He had not yet ascended into the Father. But when He ascends into the Father, the Holy Spirit, now our interaction with Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit within us. So He doesn't just appear to us. He's with us 24/7. And I'm going to flip to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The entire chapter is beautiful and pertains very much to what we're talking about. Because of time, I'm not going to read through the whole thing, but I encourage you to just saturate yourself in this chapter. It's beautiful. I'm going to start with 2 Corinthians 9, though. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that own person's spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. I'm going to jump down to verse 16. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who knows the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach Him? But we understand these things because we have the mind of Christ. Now, when we become believers, we have the mind of Christ. And so, did you catch that verse? Verse 10. But it was to us that God revealed these things to us by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. And in that moment, while the world would look in and say, Jesus is gone, he never raised from the dead, blah, 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 God was getting ready to reveal the truth to Mary Magdalene. And so in verse 16, she turns to Him. So once He calls our name, we turn to Him, and then we see Him as teacher. He wants to show us a new truth. He wants to reveal truth to us. And the reason why He wants to reveal truth to us is because revealed truth always triumphs over reasoned truth. Revealed truth always triumphs over reasoned truth. But not just that. Believing the truth brings joy in the darkest of circumstances. And you can tell because in verse 17, Jesus says to her, don't cling to me. And so we know that Mary Magdalene, when she saw Him and she heard Him, she probably just ran and held Him. The one who had held her with all these years and who had delivered her from demons. And so she held Him. And she had joy. She didn't yet understand everything, but in that moment she had joy. And have you ever walked through a dark situation and you're doing your Bible study and the scripture leaps off the page and it's like Jesus is calling your name? There's nothing like it. Because when He calls our name, we know that He is still seated on the throne and that He is getting ready to teach us truth. And so she experiences this joy, but it doesn't just stop there. Jesus says to her, don't cling to me, for I haven't yet ascended to the Father, but go and find my brothers and tell them I'm ascending to my Father and your Father to my God and to your God. Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, I have seen the Lord. And then she gave them this message. You see, she didn't just believe the truth. She applied the truth. And when you and I apply the truth that is revealed to us, It empowers the kingdom of light over darkness to share and shine a light for others to find Jesus. You see, believing the truth is not just about us. It's about shining that light. And you see, there are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God, and there's the kingdom of darkness. And when we agree, agreement is empowerment. When I agree with God's truth, I build God's kingdom and become the woman that God created me to be. You see, the truth that He entrusts us with, it's like a gift, a treasure. And I want to ask you, what truth has God entrusted you with? And will you have the courage today to believe God over what you see? You see, wise women, and you are wise. If you are a believer in Christ, you are wise. Why? Because you have the mind of Christ. Wise women brave this broken world by redirecting reasoning to rely on the Holy Spirit and find truth to light up the darkness. And here you and I are years and years later. And because Mary Magdalene agreed with the truth and applied the truth, she's still building the kingdom today. So, how do we put this into practice? Because here's the thing. The evidence is always around us. And in order to empower one kingdom or another, you know, it's sort of like we have our quiet time in the morning, we get this great word from God, and then we go out during the day, or we watch the news, or we get the bad report in about our child or our finances, whatever it is that's going on. And those little things can be, those evidences can become like waves that crash on our boat. And now all of a sudden, we're not anchored to the truth. We're drifting away from the truth. And the Bible says that we will drift away from the truth. And one of the biggest reasons why I think we do that is because of what we see inside a broken world. Mary Magdalene knew the truth. She knew that Jesus was going to raise from the dead, but she had just walked through watching Jesus being beaten and crucified and dead. And all of a sudden, this Savior that had rescued her and redeemed her and restored her, that she had spent her life walking with and traveling with and ministering to, he was no longer there. And inside of that situation, the enemy will take our catastrophes and he'll capitalize on them and he'll lie to us and say, "You're all alone in this. Where's your God now?" And that's why you and I have to continually throw down that anchor of truth. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how long we've been a Christian. I mean, she had been traveling with Jesus. It doesn't matter. This past Sunday night, I was crying just like Mary Magdalene about something. And so you and I, we need to get rid of the pride and understand that this walk with God is one that we take in humility. And that becoming emotional and that crying and feeling like you're powerless, there's nothing wrong with that, right? But when it happens, we've got to take the steps to throw down the anchor so that we can get grounded in truth. So here are three steps to stay anchored in truth when the evidence around me suggests otherwise. Number one is to ask. And these are going to be three A's. Number one is to ask. Now, I love inside of this passage because Jesus came to her and said, "Woman, why are you crying?" And the angel said, "Why are you crying?" And I think that when you and I get fearful and worried, or we feel powerless, like there's nothing, we start to have that victim mentality or any of those other negative emotions, right? That we need to say, "Why am I crying? What am I," in other words, "Lord, what am I believing? What is the fear here that I'm believing?" Monday night or Sunday night when all that happened, not that night, because I cried before I went to bed and I was just worn out and emotional. That's the other thing. When you're worn out and emotional, it's not a good time to make a decision, right? And I finally went to bed. And when I woke up in the morning, I got a good cup of coffee and I got before the Lord on my knees, crying out to him in prayer. And I said, Lord, why am I so fearful? What is going on here? And the Lord answered me and he said, Eileen, you don't feel like you're worth fighting for. And God will reveal truth to us. He will reveal truth to us. And so we need to ask ourselves the same questions that Jesus asked the woman, because it's good to self-evaluate, to find out what it is that we really believe. And if we'll just stop and say, maybe we grab a journal, but we ask ourselves this question, why am I crying? And then we take our answer and we verbalize our answer in a prayer to God, and we say, what is the truth, God, that I cannot see? Now, a good scripture to remember or to stand on inside of this is Jeremiah 33:3. So in Jeremiah 33:3, it says, call unto me. I need to turn to Jeremiah so I can get the correct reference here. Jeremiah 33:3, and I'm turning to it because I was just going to do 33:3, but there's another scripture that I want to tell you about before that scripture. Okay, so 33:3 says, ask me and I will tell you remarkable secrets that you do not know about things to come. Now, we love quoting that verse, but I think that we need to go one verse up to verse 2 where it says, this is what the Lord says, the Lord who made the earth, who formed and established it, whose name is the Lord. This is what the Lord says, who made the earth, who formed and established it. In other words, who we're asking to reveal to us the truth, like he created the earth, he established it. And if he established the earth and he holds the future in his hand, he knows the wisdom that you need to know. And so instead of trying to reason it, reason with these evidences, James chapter 1 tells us to ask God. God, show me the truth that is hidden from me. Show me the truth that I cannot see. And then write it down. And maybe he gives you a verse. Maybe he gives you, you know, whatever it is, just write it down. So we ask God. And then we agree with God. We trust Jesus in our trouble. You see, agreement will always empower one kingdom over another. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of darkness. What kingdom do you want to empower? When I agree with God's evaluation, when I walk by faith, when I walk by his truth, I empower his kingdom. Now, look at Mary Magdalene. At first, when she was believing the lie, right? She was spreading that lie. At the end of this passage, Jesus revealed the truth to her. She believed the truth and she acted upon that truth, and she was building the kingdom of God. So we ask, we agree by faith, right? And that's a way of living, not by what we see, but of what God says to us. And then we act. And our actions are important because our actions tell us what we actually believe in the core of our being. In other words, in this, inside of this paragraph, I mean, I'm sorry, inside of this passage, Mary Magdalene went. She went and she told everybody the message that God had called her to tell, okay? And so we know that she evaluated, she took in the evidence, she saw Jesus, she walked by faith, she evaluated it, and then she executed. And to execute, we'll remember, means to carry out, to put into effect. And so look at your actions. And are your actions aligning with the truth? In other words, sometimes when I get into worry, you know, I can agree. Maybe I agree with God. I know that he's my provider. But if I start to worry about it, you know, are my actions really lining up with the truth? So your actions are great because they actually tell you what you truly, truly believe. And don't beat yourself up if you feel like, well, I'm worried again and I shouldn't have done that. You just go right back and call upon the Lord. And what I want to tell you about these three A's is that you'll have to continue to do this over and over and over again. In fact, inside of the book of Jeremiah, that Jeremiah 33:3, where he says, "Ask me and I will tell you remarkable secrets that you do not know about things to come." He is prophesying to the nation of Judah, because the nation of Judah was going to get deported to Babylon. There would be a remnant left or a group of them left in Judah, but the majority would be taken up to Babylon. And inside of the book of Jeremiah, one of the things that Jeremiah does is he prophesies. He tells them what God will do 70 years later, that yes, they will be in Babylon for 70 years, but that he will replant them and he will rebuild them and he will bring them back. And so even inside of that moment, the Israelites or the Judeans, they could look at their circumstances, and their circumstances were not good. They were being deported. They were being ruled by the Babylonians, right? And that was true, but it wasn't the entirety of God's truth. And that is why you and I must continually act. And going back to the book of Jeremiah, over and over and over again, we see in Jeremiah that Jeremiah is continuing to repeat this prophecy that, yes, you are going to be deported, but you're also going to be brought back and rebuilt. You see, learning the truth and embracing the truth, it's never one and done. And the reason why it's never one and done is because there's a lot of evidence out there that's taken in with our eyes that would suggest to us things like God isn't good. He's not really seated on the throne. All you have to do is flip on the news. But you and I have the mind of Christ. And as Christians, we're called to walk by faith and not by sight. And because of that, we know that this world is not our home. We know that God's truth stands. And we know that he has the final say. Revealed truth always triumphs over reasoned truth. Believing the truth will bring joy and peace to you in the darkest of circumstances. But applying that truth empowers the kingdom of light over darkness to share and shine a light for others to find Jesus. You see, the enemy of our soul, he's always going to encourage us to evaluate the evidence around us with human reasoning rather than relying on the Holy Spirit. And when you live your life that way, you become hopeless, powerless, depressed, and defeated. And that's exactly what happened to me. But when you and I begin to live differently by thinking differently, by relying on Jesus and walking by faith, we can find light. We can find truth to light up the darkness. I want to close by sharing a story. And you may have heard this story before, but this is about Corrie Ten Boom. And last summer I read the book Seven, and it was about seven women who were just rock stars of faith. Like, Susanna Wesley was in there. Corrie Ten Boom was in there. Aunt Mother Teresa was in there. Those are three. Joan of Arc was another one. I can't remember the other three, but anyway, they were women that really, really like walked by faith, just amazing life stories. And in Corrie Ten Boom's story, which you can look this up and read about it, and I don't have time to give justice to her study, to her story. I know it's very popular, but as you know, she and her sister hid Jews, and they were caught. This is during World War II, and put into a Nazi prison camp. And when they were in the Nazi prison camp, and Corrie was telling the story, what was amazing to me was the love and the joy that Betsy had in that dark, dark place. She had, I don't think my faith is there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, she had every reason to be bitter, every reason to be full of hope and hate and doubt and despair. And instead, she was filled with love and joy. Why? Because as desperate as her circumstances were, she knew the truth. She knew this world wasn't her home. She knew that one day she was going to heaven. She knew that she was right inside of God's will. She knew because she was walking by faith and not by sight. And yes, she did die. That was true, right? But it's not God's truth. She lives forever in glory in the kingdom of God. And not only that, but because of her experience, her sister Corey was able to go out and share their story, which today is still leading many to Christ. Wise women brave this broken world by redirecting reasoning to rely on the Holy Spirit and find truth to light up the darkness. That's our podcast today. Thanks so much for joining in. And if you are interested in finding out things like, how do I know when God is speaking to me? I want to invite you to take our 21-day challenge and learn the Nourish Bible Study Method. You can go to www.nourishbiblestudymethod.com to sign up. It's completely free. And I want to invite you to continue on to join us in this series as we're walking through these different passages where Jesus interacts with women. You can sign up for this series, Following Jesus, Finding Life, by going to www.treasuredministries.weeklyword.com. I am so glad that you joined us. Time is a woman's most valuable commodity, and I appreciate you sharing your time with me. Thanks so much for joining in, and I look forward to speaking with you again next week. Bye-bye, everybody.